Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors outlasted the Orlando Magic. And I really mean outlasted because the Raptors had a 17-point lead at some point in the fourth quarter, and the Magic made it a one-possession game, but the Raptors made just enough plays to secure a 98-93 victory on a humid and stormy Friday night at the Amway Center. To be honest, just when you're on the internet and stuff, at least for me, I don't really encounter a lot of Magic fans. And then walking around here the last couple of days in Orlando, I just didn't run into many Magic fans. You don't see much Magic, you know, signage. And so it almost gives the impression that the Magic are not a very well-supported team. That was not the case, though, when you got into the arena. That arena was loud. It was bumping. It was, first off, it was one of the loudest game ops you've ever heard. It's like twice as loud as Scotiabank, if you can believe that. But, you know, it was a hostile environment. They were really excited, and you know, they should be. I mean, the Magic, this is their first home playoff game in 7 years, and the fans showed up. The Magic, though, I mean, they start quarters really poorly. So they start games really poorly, to be honest. And really, part of it's a function of the Raptors' starting lineup. They play really well, and they just sort of have answers for everything the Magic do. But, part of it is also just the Magic's just, honestly, they haven't really come out completely prepared to execute and play. They sort of like to feel their way throughout a game. It's happened all three games. I mean, the most obvious example would have been game two when the Raptors, like, held the Magic without a basket for the first 5 minutes before, I think, Aaron Gordon got a putback. It's kind of the same deal, this one. Magic didn't have a bucket, save for a Jonathan Isaac putback in the first 4 minutes as the Raptors raced out to a 10-0 lead. But, from then on, it became this sort of like back and forth affair, sort of a nip tuck thing where, Raptors will go on a run and then Orlando go on a run and Raptors go on a run, and Orlando go on a run. And the Raptors are up, on top for most of the game. But, it was one of those games where, again, you have Tony Brothers officiating and, you tend to run into problems. You wouldn't have known it based on the reaction in the crowd. It was actually really funny to watch Magic fans in action. It kind of makes you a little bit more self-aware because, as Raptors fans, obviously gripe about the officials a lot. But, if anything, the officials really favor the Magic tonight. First off, the Raptors were called for 23 personal fouls as compared to 17 for the Magic. And the last one, the 17th foul was intentional, so it really was 16. The Magic shot 23 free throws, the Raptors 10, and again, two of those were intentional, so it really is 23-8. And, there was two instances where Gasol got elbowed in the face by Vucevic, and Kyle got elbowed in the face by MCW. That feels like a fight in the making, to be honest. MCW has been super, super upset at Kyle Lowry, and big mad is, I think, the correct term for it. He's been big mad at Kyle Lowry, and Kyle Lowry is, he's a frustrating player to play against. I can see that. I mean, because there was a flop that kind of preceded that, but none of those plays were even reviewed, which nowadays in the NBA every single elbow to the face is reviewed. None of them are reviewed, but the Magic fans booed the replays of the Raptors getting elbowed in the face, which is kind of funny to me. And also, they were chanting "Ref, you suck" at multiple points, despite, like I mentioned, them holding a 23-8 free throw advantage. But really, what really hurt the Raptors wasn't even necessarily the disparity in free throws. It was the fact that Marc Gasol got into foul trouble really early in the third quarter. It felt like one of those games where, obviously, Gasol has had a lot of success against Vucevic, and I wrote about that. You should read that on Yahoo Sports Canada. The piece is called "Marc Gasol is the Raptors' Unsung Hero." But, it was early in the game, it was shaping up to be one of those situations, right? Like, the Magic, talked about for basically 2 days how to get Vucevic going because he had only had, 16 points on, 6 of 21 shooting, or 17 points on 6 of 21 shooting, with, 5 turnovers and 6 assists. in the first two games. And so, you know, they obviously came in prepared for more looks for Vucevic, but quite honestly, none of that really worked. Like, the first possession of the game, they ran like a pick and pop for Vucevic and he took a contested mid-range shot. Like, the Raptors were happily, you know, give him those. That's not a solution to anything. And then just him against Gasol, he was turning the ball over. He just wasn't getting anything in the post. He was, you know, tossing up these jumpers that just didn't have a prayer of going in. And so, you know, Gasol was having a another great effort against Vucevic. And also Gasol was, you know, hitting his jumpers, you know, him on the baseline pick and pop, you know, the mid-range pick and pop, the three-point line. Like, he was doing a lot of great things. Obviously, active hands, another four steals tonight. Rarely do you see a center get four steals, and he's done that two games in a row. But Gasol picked up two quick fouls with just 3 minutes into the third quarter there. That saddled him with four, and that forced him to the bench. Nick Nurse decided to go a little bit conservative and put Gasol on the bench. At that point, the Raptors still had kind of control of the game. They started the third quarter really strong, you know, had like three unanswered baskets to sort of extend the lead. But as soon as Gasol left the game, Vucevic started going. And tonight, Vucevic had his best game of the playoffs so far. 22 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 of 13 shooting, 2 of 5. And it's not a coincidence that a lot of that came because, you know, Gasol has only played 26 minutes. Gasol so far on this series has been able to match Vucevic for the most part in minutes played. But because of foul trouble, Gasol goes to the bench. And it's just not the same. Like, you know, Gasol has, you know, the bulk to sort of body up on Vucevic down low and sort of push him further away from the basket so he can't catch it down low. You know, Gasol also has quick hands to sort of slap down at Vucevic. You know, that's sometimes gets him in trouble as well. But the fact that he got four steals, I mean, you can't really argue with it. And, you know, Gasol is just, more than anything else, has really good defensive positioning, defensive awareness. And, yeah, I mean, Gasol not being in the game and Ibaka being there instead, it's just really allowed Vucevic to go off. Like, Vucevic, you know, sees red when he sees Ibaka, and he just goes right at him. And the results, I mean, they completely, you know, support that decision. I mean, just Gasol has done a great job. Ibaka has not at all. And Vucevic comes in, you know, starts basically going off. I mean, he starts hitting threes all of a sudden. He really hasn't been knocking those down for the most part in the series. You know, gets a couple baskets down low. And again, it's not even just that, like, you know, Vucevic was that much more aggressive. It was just he was able to operate so effectively down low because, again, Ibaka's just not pushing him out of any space. Ibaka's not a physical defender. Ibaka likes to, you know, play in space and block your shot, but he doesn't really like to bang bodies the way Gasol does. And so Vucevic really got going. That gave the Magic a huge boost. And it's not even just like a huge boost in terms of in the game. It was a huge boost in the sense that, you know, the Magic fans, like, they love Vucevic. I didn't realize how much they loved him. I mean, I figured they do because, you know, obviously he's like their only all-star and he had a great year and stuff like that, but they love Vucevic. Like, any chance they had, they were chanting MVP for him, kind of the same way that, you know, how at Scotiabank, you know, everyone went crazy when Kyle had that free throw in game two to sort of encourage him. You know, they were trying to do that with Vucevic. But they genuinely mean it. Like, they're chanting MVP every time he goes to the line. And this is Nick Vucevic we're talking about. And so, you know, Vuce gets going. He gets the crowd in. He hits a couple threes. The Magic take the lead. And from there, I'm thinking, this is not looking well. Because, you know, this is one of those games where Kawhi just had an awful, awful game. And, he, you know, he still had 16 points. But if you look at the stat line, 5 of 19 from the field, 0 of 3 from deep, 6 turnovers. I mean, this is not playoff Kawhi, and Nick Nurse kind of explained after the game that, you know, Kawhi's been under the weather and he hasn't practiced the last couple of days, which, you know, I guess that makes sense. Although it doesn't quite explain the decision making, but in any case, this is not a game where Kawhi had it going. The Magic were really coming on strong. At that point, Kyle wasn't scoring that much anyway, and so it was sort of like, who's going to step up? And I kind of openly wondered aloud up on Twitter. And the two guys that really responded were Danny Green, who, you know, hit a three in the third quarter. Also had a putback and, you know, snuck back door on a little quick pick and roll play where he left the corner to go under the rim and he got a little quick pass and he finished the layup. So Danny Green gave them a shot in the arm. And also Pascal, I mean, oh my God, this was, I'm kind of bearing the lead here, but like Pascal was just phenomenal. And he really stepped up in that third quarter. As soon as the Magic took a 1 point lead off of Vucevic's three, which again, huge momentum shifting play, gets the crowd in, everyone's super hype. Vucevic is finally playing well. If, you know, it looks like they're going to go 2-1 in the series. They clearly have the Raptors in their sights. And then Pascal comes right down. They swing it to him in the corner. It's not even necessarily that open of a three, but he just confidently rises up, knocks down the three. And, you know, just throughout the end of that third quarter, when it really looked like momentum was going to shift towards the Magic, the Raptors close out that quarter super strong because of Danny and also because of Pascal. Pascal just abusing Terrence Ross in the post. Got him just, like, off his feet with a fake. Like, DeMar-esque footwork in the post. I'm serious. And, you know, Pascal was just such a, you know, I mean, obviously scoring in transition, the usual Pascal stuff. He's doing a lot of great stuff. And also, Raptors defensively in the second half of the third quarter really locked the Magic down, held them to 6 minutes without a field goal. And so the Raptors had a comfortable lead. And then even in the fourth quarter, I was sort of worried that the bench wouldn't, you know, really be able to hold the lead. You know, Serge hadn't been playing that well, but Serge knocks down a pair of mid-range jumpers. Norm comes in, gives him a layup, and hits a three. And you're thinking, like, man, this is great. Kyle Lowry hits, like, a step-back crossover, like, 28-footer to get the Raptors a 17-point edge. And I'm thinking, like, man, you know, I can't believe the Raptors pulled it out. But that's when I wouldn't say that, you know, this is sort of prototypical of the Raptors. That's a little bit unfair. But that's when the Raptors started, you know, doing Raptors stuff, which is shooting themselves in the foot. I think, you know, Nick Nurse talked about it in the postgame, too, about how much the Raptors, you know, slowed down their offense, tried to chew into the clock. And that just ended them with the Raptors getting one possession, and usually it's a bad shot, and it wasn't going well. And again, this is where I got to circle back to Kawhi, because he wasn't really doing much. I mean, most games, I'm completely cool with Kawhi closing games. And I guess if you want to look at it the other way, it's sort of like, okay, Kawhi still has the confidence despite the fact they had an off night. But, like, he had an off night. And so, you know, I would have liked to see the Raptors go somewhere else with the way they closed the game. And and the way I was looking at it, too, is especially because the way the Magic were playing it down the stretch, right? Because they were down double digits, they needed offense more than they needed defense to sort of close the gap. And so with their starting lineup, they put in Ross instead of Isaac, right? Because Isaac obviously is way better defensively, but Ross is way better offensively. And so they needed to come back, they put Ross on. However, if you put Ross on the floor, the consequence of that is that means one of either Ross or Fournier is guarding Pascal, because you need Gordon to guard Kawhi. And so at that point, there's a mismatch. So really, Kawhi has an okay matchup against Gordon, but Pascal has a definite mismatch against both Ross and Fournier. And so I thought that the offense should have run more through Siakam. Siakam did get the ball just, you know, occasionally in the fourth quarter. He hit a very, very big driving play. It was kind of a broken play. You know, Pascal gets in the corner. The Magic close out on him pretty good. And it's like 4 seconds left. He's in the corner. I'm thinking, this is not going to go well. But then he, like, drives to the middle and throws up a little short floater, rises up over Fournier. Fournier is just not a good player. Like, I'm sorry. He's just not a good player. But, yeah, Pascal drives past Fournier and throws up a little floater. That shot was about a minute 30 left in the fourth quarter. They gave the Raptors a 6-point advantage. Gives the Raptors a little bit more breathing room because the Magic had been making this crazy comeback. And yeah, ultimately it came down to, you know, a one possession game. Terrence Ross just went crazy down the stretch. You know, he was hitting some very, very confident threes. The Raptors also just defensively, you know, they got to really work on it. But late in games, they got to come out to the perimeter, the bigs. I'm talking about Serge Ibaka and Marcus. So I'm looking over the tape right now. Both of them made a lot of defensive gaffes in terms of just not stepping up higher to challenge Terrence. And it was also on the guards too. Obviously, you can't let Terrence get too much separation, but, you know, Terrence getting these open threes and hitting them as well, also getting a steal and going the other way for a layup. I mean, you know, it was really, really hairy there for a moment. And again, the situation was made worse by the fact that Kawhi, on a night where he had an off night, insisted on sort of taking the hero ball shots. And ordinarily, I wouldn't get on him because, again, if he's fully capable, he's fully healthy, whatever, it's fine. Like, if he's not under the weather, yeah, by all means, go ahead and take those shots. But yeah, I mean, today, like there's one possession where a key play, there's a three-point game. The Raptors had a 2-for-1 opportunity, by the way. They had the ball like 43, 44 seconds. And so, you know, a lot of times you want to take a slightly quicker shot just so that you can get the ball back after the Magic can use their possession, right? But instead, you know, Kawhi decides to dribble it out. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. So it's like under 27 seconds. And then the play he ultimately gets is like he takes Gordon one-on-one and then pulls up, and it's a contested jumper. It has no chance of going in. And really, the Raptors got lucky because the Magic were looking to break the other way. And so they had pretty much everybody out of the paint. And somehow it was, you know, just you got to credit Kyle Lowry just because he has such a nose for the ball. But he beats out three Magic defenders on this long rebound off Kawhi's jumper to get the offensive rebound. He gets it to Danny in the corner. Danny gets it back to Kawhi. Kawhi gets fouled intentionally. He knocks down both free throws. And that ends up icing the game. But seriously, that was a very, very scary moment because the Magic were really going to have numbers going the other way, especially if Kyle didn't get that rebound. The Raptors' floor balance would have been terrible. And Terrence honestly looked like he was for sure going to hit a three. And so... you know, Kyle Lowry ends up bailing the Raptors out. You know, Pascal ends up bailing the Raptors out. And yeah, the Raptors survive. You know, like, again, like, really poor officiating sort of allowed the Magic to really make a push. You know, Vucevic really got free. Again, that you chalk that up to poor officiating. But I think this game is going to be great for his confidence because he finally played, like, you know, literally to his potential tonight. And yeah, you know, Kawhi didn't have it like at all. This is one of his worst games of the season, and so if he was sick, I guess that explains it, but still, the way he sort of went about it, adjusting and stuff like that, it wasn't great. But you know, the Raptors made enough plays, and I think this is where it comes down to execution, right? Like, you know, what ultimately allowed the Raptors to win this game was things like taking care of the ball. You know, the Raptors still made their fair share of mistakes, but the Magic, they just had so many turnovers. 16 turnovers. And this is a team that doesn't really turn over, but the Raptors have been really aggressive with their defense. They've been really trying to force these turnovers so they can get out in transition. And, you know, the Magic, 16 turnovers, the Raptors, 13. I mean, the team with more turnovers has lost all three games so far in the series. It's really been a key factor here. Another key factor, obviously, is that rebound. I mean, seriously, a lot of these games just come down to one play. Kyle Lowry ends up getting his lone offensive rebound in the most important time, and he gets that, and you know, this is just how playoffs games are. Like, they're very tight margins, and Kyle ended up coming with a huge play for the Raptors. And so, you know, I'm sure the Magic will look at it as sort of an opportunity loss. Again, they had every advantage, man. Every advantage. All the foul calls were in their favor. The way it was officiated was in their favor. Like, the Magic were allowed to do anything they wanted at the rim. Like, early in the game, like, Jonathan Isaac literally looked like prime Kevin Garnett because he was just able to, like, body Kawhi any shot layup around the rim, and it was just sort of like, it just wasn't called. Any body contact wasn't called. It was just sort of called up top, and whether or not, you know, you rake an arm or something. And even when Kawhi got manhandled, he still wasn't getting free throws. It was honestly jarring, and I'm a little bit surprised, you know, Nick Nurse didn't really tear into that and sort of point it out in the post game. I guess he was tired or whatever. I mean, he, you know, his voice was Dwayne Casey level hoarse. But yeah, the Raptors found a way to win. And so, you know, obviously very important game. The Raptors now have a 2-1 series lead. In terms of your three stars, number one, obviously Pascal, 30 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 13 of 20 shooting, 3 of 4 from deep. Only one free throw, despite the fact he was attacking the rim a lot. You know, whatever. Nobody in the Raptors apparently can shoot a free throw. You got to give all the advantages to Orlando. That's cool. But yeah, I mean, Pascal didn't need it, man. He just, you know, he plays through contact. I mean, it was kind of funny in retrospect because, you know, I was really worried about, you know, the season series. Pascal had such a hard time with Isaac. You know, he was averaging like 8 points a game in the series. And really it was like 6 points a game when you take out the first game and stuff. So like, it was like, man, is Pascal going to be able to score? Man, why are we worried about Pascal? He had 24 points a game one, 19 in game two, and now he had 30. It seems ridiculous to worry about Pascal, you know, like he's been incredible, and he's been every bit the second option for the Raptors. It was a funny moment where I forget who it was, and I don't really want to expose, whatever, but it was like somebody on the Magic side in terms of the reporter pool, and before the game, you know, he asked Nick Nurse about Pascal and, you know, him being the third option, things like that. And then Nick just kind of looked at him and was like, you know, the man's our second option, right? And sort of like the media room laughed, and, you know, Nick was good about it. You know, he answered the question and stuff like that. But yeah, seriously. Like, I think that's kind of indicative of the fact that people don't really know, you know, how good Pascal truly is. They know he's improved, but unless you've watched a lot of these Raptors games, you might not know. But now you'll know, man. And for me personally, like, you know, Pascal obviously was the best player on the floor for the Raptors tonight, both offensive and defensive. Like, the fact that he's guarding, like, all five positions is just crazy to me. Like, he literally spends shifts on Augustine, on Fournier, on Isaac, on Gordon, Vucevic, everybody. Like, he guards Terrence Ross, everybody. You know, I think when I see games like this from Pascal, like, I'm just wondering, like, this is not the, you know, Pascal Siakam game. Like, it's going to be the DJ Augustin game from game one. But, no, this is the first of many for Pascal, so I'm really excited for him. Obviously, it was great tonight. Raptors don't win this very pivotal game without him tonight. Really ugly game, and Pascal kind of really thrives in those. Second star, going out to Kyle. You know, the way he stepped up, just with that key rebound, I mean, everything else, like, you know, he was still a very good all-around contributor. 12 points. A lot of them he created on his own, too, which is really nice to see. You know, the Raptors really did need a couple of bailout kind of shots. The Magic's defense was pretty stingy tonight. And so Kyle being able to get to the rim a couple of times, him getting that little step-back jumper off, I mean, you know, it's vital. This is why you can't score 0 points, right? Because, like, those the 10, 12 points that Kyle normally scores, like, those are very important. And so that was important. But Kyle gets 10 assists, gets to 5 rebounds, obviously that really important one, gets a steal, a block, plus 8 in 40 minutes. You know, just great stuff from Kyle overall. And then third star, I'm going to give that to Danny Green. You know, as I described earlier, you know, him in that third quarter really gave the Raptors a huge boost when the Raptors needed it. He ultimately finishes with 13 points, 2 assists, a steal, a block, 5-11 shooting, 3-7 from deep. He finally gets going a little bit from deep because he did go scoreless in game 2 from 3. And so, you know, it's you know, Danny's obviously a dependent player. You know, he's always going to get open. It's just whether or not the Raptors can, you know, find him with those passes. And today he got open. He got a lot of baskets. But I also like that he mixed up his game a little bit too, going for that putback, going for that baseline cut. And again, it's just, you know, it's nice that the Raptors have a player like Danny who doesn't freak out when the games get tough. You know, you kind of need that, you know, calm and presence. And I think when the Magic were making a push in the third quarter, Danny stepped up and, you know, along with Pascal, and, you know, they carried the Raptors. So, you know, just overall impressions, you know, it was fun. Again, the Magic Arena is very nice, actually. Amway Center is really nice. All the sightlines are pretty nice. I would say their in-game production was a little bit over the top. I'm serious. It's like twice as loud as Scotiabank in there. But yeah, I mean, overall, pretty enjoyable experience. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that has to be Terrence Ross. For a second straight game, Terrence was incredible tonight, man. 24 points in 32 minutes, 8 of 17 shooting, 5 of 13 from deep. Got 3 free throws, doesn't really do much else, doesn't really need to do much else. Terrence is on the floor to score, and man, this guy is hard to cover. Like, he's just hard to cover, he's annoying to cover. I thought Steve Clifford stumbled into something late in the game where Terrence was coming off all these screens, and like, especially against guys like Gasol and Ibaka, like, those guys, especially late in the games, they're kind of become more conservative. They want to stay close to the rim. Their instinct, obviously, is always as a center to protect the basket. But Ross coming around those little handoffs or whatever, and he's going to his right and stuff. I mean, he can just stop on a dime and elevate off the dribble handoff, and it's super hard to guard, especially if the center is not up to contest and show help. And so Ross was great tonight, man. Seriously, it's almost kind of amazing to me how much Ross has sort of grown and how much confidence he has now. I remember there was, like, you know, during his years with the Raptors, he just never had the confidence to do all this stuff, but he's scary. He's being fully empowered. He's being really decisive. He's being really quick with his movements, and he's being, again, really aggressive. Like, the fact that he's willing to take 13 threes in a game is, you know, it's good. I'm really happy to see Terrence Ross in this portion of his career. And you know, I wasn't happy when he was launching this comeback against the Raptors, but, you know, T. Ross always seems like a great guy. All the Raptors love him and stuff. So 24 points tonight against his former team. That was great. And then the Patrick Patterson Award for the underperforming Raptors player. Unfortunately, I got to give that to Fred VanVleet. Now, Serge was really in contention for it early, but, I mean, just look at the plus minuses here, all right? Everybody was, you know, pretty even. Like, the lowest on the team was, like, Ibaka at plus zero. You know, I guess that's not plus or minus, it's just zero. Kawhi plus one. You know, Norm Powell plus two. You know, Mark plus five, things like that. It's like, okay, yes, that makes sense. It's a close game. Fred VanVleet was a minus 11 in 24 minutes in a game where the Raptors won by five. So, you know, that means in the 24 minutes without Fred VanVleet on the floor, the Raptors won those minutes by 16 points. And, you know, that's not entirely on Fred, but I just think that the way he's distributed the ball hasn't really been very good. You know, he's had decent games of individual scoring. I'm thinking about game one in particular, but For the most part, I don't really feel like the offense has been run really well when he's out there. He hasn't really made the right passes. Today, he did try to make that little pocket pass to Surge. He got picked off. I think Terrence went the other way for an and one. And, yeah, he has 8 assists so far in the series in, like, 80-something minutes. This is just not good enough, period. Like, or, like, 70-something minutes. It's just not good enough. I think he needs to distribute a little bit more. But it's also hard enough for him in the series because, again, he's constantly getting guarded by way bigger players. And, that's the thing we see it. Small guards always struggle in the playoffs. And I think the Raptors also kind of make the problem worse too. It's something that you know, Daniel Hackett, a very popular Raptors Twitter guy, kind of an essential follow. You know, Dan was pointing out how, yeah, I mean, like, if Van Vliet's struggling like this, like, why are you running so much of the offense through Fred? Why are you letting him run the offense? Especially when him and Kyle are both on the floor at the same time. You know, Kyle is aggressive as a scorer when he wants to be, but for the most part, he's way better distributing. And Fred is way better, definitely way better, just, you know, spotting up around, off the ball. So it doesn't really quite make sense for Van Vliet to run the plays and to initiate while Kyle's on the floor with him. But well, for the most part, you know, Van Vliet just has to do a better job. He has to make quicker reads. He's been more decisive. You know, especially, and he has to vary his looks, you know, like when he runs these pick and rolls with Ibaka, right, which is supposed to be the main play off the bench, like they just never connect on it. And a couple of times when you know, Van Vliet and Ibaka are able to stretch the defense such that they force a switch, so, you know, Ken Burch is on Van Vliet and you know, whoever, you know, Michael Harden Williams is on Serge Ibaka and stuff. Like, I don't necessarily want to play through Ibaka in the post, but if you get the ball into Ibaka in the post, maybe the magic double, and then all of a sudden there's an open shot somewhere, and it's easier offense than Fred just trying to take a 7-footer off the dribble. Like, it's just, you know, it's hard to watch sometimes, but I don't know. I think Fred's a smart player. So I think he'll just bounce back. I think ultimately the way for him to bounce back is just to fall back, like literally just become more of a facilitator than a scorer. Because in this series, it's not going to be easy for him to score. He's going up against MCW. MCW has like 6 inches on it, man. So it's not going to be easy. So that does it for game 3. Again, pretty exciting game, all things considered. I'm very obviously relieved that the Raptors won, but I think the Raptors kind of generally outplay the Magic. It's one of those things where, you know, talent ends up winning out, right? I mean, like if the Magic, you know, if their leading scorer, if Vucevic has a tough game, then they're going to have a tough game. But, you know, Kawhi has a terrible game, and, you know, all of a sudden you got Pascal scoring 30, and he carries the team, and that's just talent. And, again, you know, that's why you need 2 stars, at least 2 stars, to go deep in the playoffs, because...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You know, there's always going to be random nights where your main guy doesn't really have it going. And if it was for Pascal, this game would have been really ugly. But Pascal bails him out. So thanks for listening. So look out for all the post-game coverage on Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm going to have a piece coming out tomorrow on Pascal's performance. So you could check that out. It's going to have an accompanying video portion to it as well. I think a lot of players had great things to say about Pascal's performance. So definitely look out for that. Again, that's on Yahoo Sports Canada. And thanks for listening to Raptors of Everything. And I'll be back after game 4.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.